It's Kiva. It's 8 o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
this week's episode of Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight, featuring Seventh Grain, who were the MSI Hit List May Artist of the Month. They are from LA, Lower Alabama, if you didn't know, Silver Hill to be exact. In 2006, Hayden Dudley, Owen Finley, Ethan Giles formed the rock funk jam band. Later on, Christian Brannon joined, and now they make up Seventh Grain. I had so much fun with this interview. We laughed through the entire thing, so I really hope that you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed doing it. And I always love having guests like that are just very engaging, entertaining, and fun, and they have great stories. So first up, we're going to talk to Rich Wildman from MSI about the win.
It's good to talk to you, Rich. Seems like we just talked yesterday, but I think it was about a week or so ago, and we talked about the last MSI Hit List winner, and now here we are, me getting caught up and getting my shows going again and talking about Seventh Grain.
Yeah, you know, the Seventh Grain, a great band, got to give them props. They're from Alabama down near Baldwin County, and or at least that's where they formed. I'm assuming they're still down in Alabama.
They are. When we talked, it's like they play every place near the beach. How lucky is that? All your gigs are near the beach. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, not a finer stretch of beach in America. No,
says
I really
Rich, who came from Alabama.
I lived in Alabama. Yeah, I lived in Alabama for over 10 years. And, you know, a lot of good musicians down in Alabama. And I'm just pleased as punch that the Seventh Grain, the guys from that group, submitted music to MSI, and that it happened to have gotten selected as the Band of the Month. So that's awesome.
They were so nice to talk to, and I got to talk to three out of four of the band members until the very end, and then the drummer came in. He had been working, so I eventually got to talk to all the band members, and they were all just so nice, so grateful for the win. They even showed me a picture of the microphone that they won as part of being named Band of the Month, so
very
they
nice.
Are quite stoked.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear. I think that's a first that anybody's ever seen any of the prizes other than the actual people who've won the prizes, so...
I told them to take
lucky.
A picture and send it to you. Yeah,
they
video Skyped with me, so I got to see them, and they really were just the nicest guys. So
well,
I know that's
good.
Not how you choose them, but it's
no,
nice when you get a nice group in there.
Yeah, it is. It's always nice to know that a good group of people, you know, won the hit list, and you know, seems like you know, the song these guys put together called "He Works Through Her." Seemed to be a very good song. Went up against a number of tough songs. We had Chris Ryan, his track "Learn to Love." We had the Harmonic Generator, "Nobody Dies." Then, of course, the Seventh Grain, "He Works Through Her." I just mentioned them, along with Jamie Alamorad and his track "That's What She Said." So you know that hit list was a very tough choice for the panel.
Very, very hard. Because I know Jamie's got quite a loyal following, and I don't know the other ones, but I know Jamie's music, so I know that there was some good, stiff competition.
It really was. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of background on some of the other groups, Chris Ryan, the song he sent in was "Learn to Love," selected Song of the Week back at the first week of May. And it's a nice ballad tune. It was a really good song. A Harmonic Generator, more of a heavy metal kind of rock song. And then Jamie Alamorad, he kind of mixes genres on the song "That's What She Said," going from pop, rock, and even into dubstep in some of it. So You know, for the Seventh Green to pull it out as they did over that kind of company really says something about them.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that reminds me, when I talked to them, I guess somehow ukuleles came into the conversation. And I told them that I had put a challenge out.
I was going to say, I would hope you would bring this up since you were instrumental in the challenge.
I did. I said, you know, Rich and I, you know, a while back put a challenge out. We wanted to hear somebody, you know, come out with some original shred ukulele music because it's such a happy instrument. And I want to see somebody go crazy with it. And they loved that idea. And they said, expect to hear it. So I will be happy to hear that from them. I've been waiting for that. Nobody's taken us up on the challenge. And there are several ukulele players out there that end up coming into Butterflies, into MSI. So there are people out there who could do it.
Absolutely, there are. I've spoken with a number of ukulele players, but have only received a very, very few submissions with regards to ukulele. And, of course, I haven't listened to any of them yet because I'm waiting for a firm number to come in before we put them in a category to go against each other, but
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. I certainly hope that some musicians step up and meet that challenge.
First song of the night is He Works Through Her, which is the song that won them the title of Artist of the Month.
You think you knew me? You couldn't have, I didn't know me. And if you'd known me, you wouldn't give me the time of day. I took a flower, a yellow tulip from the altar. In my blindness, I became the very thing I was protecting her from. I took the chains that held me bound so many years. Dragged it down with selfishness and fear. Yet she never let go. That stormy night, my words cut through her heart just like a knife. Through her tears I saw the monster I'd become. I had lost all control. Apart. The Father's love resides inside our hearts. It's stronger than we ever could have known. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in this world. Go ahead and try. You try to separate us, but you fail. Of the past are dead and gone. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in this world. No, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't
just traded for anything in this world.
So tell me a little bit about each of you, if you want to say who you are and tell me about it. Pretend like nobody can see you.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty. Well, I'm Hayden. I started the band with, well, first of all, we don't have all of us here. We have guitarist, bassist, and other guitarist. We don't have the drummer. He's working. But,
see, drummers always get left out one way or the other. Drummers always get left out.
we wish he could have been here. He goes out of town to do work. He comes in on the weekends for the gigs. But it's a shame he couldn't be here tonight. He's here in spirit.
Oh, well, yeah, that matters.
Listen. We're going to break something in his honor. So we'll pretend.
See, that would be perfect.
I'm Hayden. I basically met up with these guys in high school. We've all been good friends, and it was Owen and I, and then the drummer, Ethan. We all started playing back in, when we were in high school, he was in middle school, and just started playing around town and stuff, and started playing music, jamming in our free time and everything during high school when you have a lot of free time, and before work and wife and all that stuff.
And more school.
More school.
Right, yeah. Right. But, yeah, I play guitar in the band and sing basically the lead guitar and vocals after several attempts at trying to get other people to sing because none of us wanted to. And several no-shows whenever we were playing places or not showing up for practice or that kind of thing. I kind of got pushed into singing and eventually became comfortable with it. So,
I'm Owen Finley. I'm the bass player, and I'm kind of like the social media guy behind. I'm the one that put all did the music scene investigation stuff, and I do the Twitter, and we all kind of do the Facebook thing, and. Like Hayden said, we all started playing together. He was the first guitarist I jammed with. Ethan was the first drummer I played with, well, one of them. And we played all through high school. We would play out every once in a while. We did the first battle of the bands at our high school and won all of them because we're awesome. And after high school, we all kind of split up. Hayden went to Michigan.
Yep.
Michigan for school. Ethan went to Orlando for work, and then it's only been about 2 years now, maybe,
since we've gotten back together,
and everybody moved back, and it was like, well, you know, we're not doing too much. Why don't we start the band back up? And things have been rolling and haven't stopped, so it's been pretty
cool. That's awesome that you guys would come back together. You know that you didn't let those things separate you.
Yeah. Yeah. Once we got back together, it was like we all happened to be in town just visiting. And we played again, and it's like we gotta get this back together because you don't really.
Did you miss it while you guys were gone? Did you miss it?
Oh, so much.
I did. I was up there. I mean, I moved up there. I don't know anybody up there. And I was just going to school and working a little bit, barely, and just going to school and going home, just going to school, school. So it's like no fun. But, yeah.
Did you not want to start a band, any of you, did you not want to start a band when you were separate?
Well, after we graduated high school, three of us graduated in 2010, and right after school I went to the community college about 30 minutes from here, and I kept doing music in school, and other people saw me, and I play in two or three other different bands. You know, this is where my basically my heart is, in this band, the Seventh Green, you know, all my best friends. But I play in other groups around here, and that's pretty much how I make my money. I just play all the time. I played for the shuttle buses at Hangout Fest this summer.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I haven't stopped playing music, but this is where I wish I could play music every day, and hopefully here soon I will be. We all will be. So
yeah.
You'll be doing it till you're 64, right?
Well, until I'm 65 at least.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you got to do it to retire.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm Christian. I'm, I guess, the latest entry into the band, about a year ago. And I've been friends with all these guys, like I said, since high school. But while they were forming the band, I was pretty much just learning how to play guitar and stuff like that. And building up my skills, and in about 11th grade, started my own band while they were doing their thing. And you know, after high school, it kind of separated, I guess, fell apart in a way. But and I just started playing with them more after, after Hayden came back and stuff. And they asked me if I wanted to be in the band one day. I was like, heck yeah. So, yeah, here we are now. So, now me and Hayden kind of split playing guitar and vocals and stuff like that.
We toyed around with the idea of getting Christian to play with us for a while, and after we all got back together a couple of years ago, it was like, you know, two guitars would be nice for some of these songs, and it'd be nice to have someone else singing, and we would... You know, we'd all be like, hey, why don't you come jam? And then after a few times, we were like, hey, want to be in the band? And he's brought a whole other element to the to our sound. And it's,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's funny. I've heard that several times. That's the way things will come about. You'll be like, hey, want to be in a band? It's just kind of, you find the right people at the right time, this right mix.
Yeah.
You know, that when you just know when it's right. Have you had that moment where you just know that it's right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So at least once every gig we'll have a moment, and it's just kind of like, you know, why did we stop this in the first place?
I think part of it, too, is because, you know, we all, like, grew up together, hung out with each other. So we're all, I mean, other than just playing a band, we've done, you know, we surf together, play paintball together, skate together.
Broken down in vehicles together.
It's not a road trip if you haven't done that, is it?
All right. No. So we know how to read all the little nuances of each other's looks and behaviors and such, and I think it really creates a good chemistry for making music.
And I think that's hard. You know, when you're on a road trip or going to gigs, if you don't like the people you're with personally, I don't think you can get past that. I think you've got to like each other as friends before you can really be in a band together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There are bands that you read about them, and they're like, you know, we hate each other, but we make good music together, and that's, I think they're lying.
Yeah.
Because
that'd be like, what's the point? And, you know.
I think it'd be miserable to have to be, I don't know that I could do my work or my music if I hated the people that I was with.
See, it makes music work, and work is a four-letter word, so, you know.
Yeah.
Once it becomes work, it's not something. I don't. As far as playing music, you know, once it becomes like a job or something, it's.
Yeah.
And it hadn't. I don't think that'll happen. So.
Next up is a song called "Feeling Good," which is my choice song of the evening by Seventh Green.
¶¶ to Robin Stores just to get a dime. They can take a life, but it won't be mine.
Have any good stories from gigs or traveling? Oh, I love the looks on your face. It's perfect. You're like, what can we talk about?
Scottish Dave.
Scottish Dave. That was, you want to tell that one?
Or? Yeah, we went down to play in Largo, Florida. Not Key Largo, but near Tampa. We played a place called the Rose and Crown. This was before Christian was with us. But we went down there for a Halloween bash of sorts. And we had worked up Frankenstein, Edgar Winters for this. And, like, we were all excited about everything. We got there, and they had all talked about this guy named Scottish Dave that, like, hung around this place we were playing at. And everybody seemed to know who he was. And we're like, all right, well, we'll keep an eye out for him. And this guy comes out, and he sits down, and everybody's walking around him and everything and talking to him. And we figured that was probably Scottish Dave. And then you could hear him just, and you couldn't understand anything he was saying. And so
his best Scottish pirate voice, right?
Oh, he was exactly what he sounded like.
Yeah. So Owen walked up to him, and he starts talking to Owen. He's like,
he said, "You don't understand. We don't speak English here. You don't understand what I'm saying, do you, laddie?" Or something.
Yes. So, and then Owen just looked at him for a second, and then he went, "Hey!" Everybody thought it was the greatest thing.
He's like, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" I went, "Hey, I do." Yeah.
Perfect. You're just kind of rolling with it.
Well, yep. You have to, or they'll beat you up. And that,
oh yeah, you got to like feel. You have to feel what's going on around you.
Yep.
And kind of roll with that because you get different crowds. You know, do you find that you have to treat each place differently?
Yeah, music selection wise, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, do you find I know some musicians that I know that they'll have the set list, and they get on stage, and you just kind of look at the crowd, you look at the room, and you just realize that you're going to have to change it right there, you know, right on the stage. You got to kind of roll with it and go with something else. Have you had that moment where you just change it right then?
Yeah. All the time. Yeah, all the pretty time. Much.
I mean, if you got, like, three people that are right in front of you and everybody else is just kind of eating and everything, you're not going to play, like, the heaviest, loudest, fastest thing you got because it's just going to make those who are listening, you know, step back, and then those who aren't listening do more to not listen. So you got to kind of engage people in, and you never really know if you're going to have a bunch of people waiting at the stage that have been waiting to hear you play that when you get there, or if it's going to be kind of more of a...
your background music, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely an art of compromise to it, too, because you want to get called back for the gig, but at the same time, you don't want to be, you know, you want to make your band stand out, you know, you don't want to play the same old bar songs that they've been playing for 40 years, unless they're good songs, like, you know, it's a Pink Floyd song or something, but, it's definitely, yeah, every happens every gig.
What kind of venue do you like playing? Do you prefer playing? Outdoors, bar.
Definitely outside. I'm still getting used to the extremely dense cigarette atmosphere inside a bar that can mess with your vocals. But I like the outside. I like the breeze, and when there is breeze.
I like the outside shows. I like going to outside shows more.
Yeah,
festivals are where it's at for me. I wanna. That's like my short term goal is to just get in a vehicle and just go festival to festival. Now, not even the big ones like Bonnaroo. I mean, of course, I would, you know, if that happened, I'd take that opportunity. We'd take that opportunity. But as outdoors, yeah, big stages, lots of people.
What festivals have you played? Have you played any?
We did the Shrimp Festival a couple of years ago, and it was when the Hangout was first. It was like right when it was first built, and they had the Shrimp Festival there on the beach, and we had a pretty good crowd. That was
Shrimp Festival. That's one I need to go to.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a neat
festival. They got tons of like tons of people, but they got art there, they got, you know, live music set up, like different kinds of, there's always a Native American band that's there that kicks butt, and then, but all the food is bad to the bone. I guess it's kind
of too, that Gulf Coast food is awesome.
Yes, it is.
And I guess festivals are kind of nice too, because people are there to hear music when they're music festivals. Yeah. You know, you get a real responsive crowd. It's not like that's totally what they're there for. So
yeah, it's totally different than just playing at a bar or something. You know, when people are there to hear your music, it makes it that much better to be able to play, because they're just more into it and everything. You know, so it just gets you more excited about it. And It's a lot of fun.
If they hear something new, they're not there to hear the same thing that they would hear in the bar, you know, three blocks down.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you play much in the way of cover songs, or do you try to stick with the original music?
We kind of try to mix it up appropriately. I guess we have, total originals, like an hour and a half?
We have about an hour and a half of originals.
Yeah. So we kind of try to pick covers wisely, depending on where we are, and there's a lot of covers that I like playing. I mean, I never get tired of playing Pink Floyd, and you know, any kind of try to mix it up and throw a couple of our own in there too, and to kind of get your sound out there, I guess. But yeah, we do a good bit of covers too.
Yeah.
The next song of the evening is called "Trees and Politics" and is the Artist Choice Song of the Night by Seventh Green.
A goner. Now what you wanna? Right now I'm trying to make my rhymes. I don't wanna waste my time, but I feel it's a crime to see all the shame and the fame. Got no one else to blame but ourselves and the hustle. A lot of bright, but where's the sharp tacks? No one knows where they're at. Well, I think they're out back. A little crack with a rum of a rack, a little goat down the throat, and he make it with a sour note. Captain's cheese with the bees on his knees. I feel a little pandemonium is just what I need. Now I gotta end this rhyme for the fourth time. Thinking's out of line. Man, that sounds fine. We're not safe from nothing. We'll be right back.
floating up in the sky, and I wonder why I never had the chance to fly. Controlled and rolled up till the end of my life. I'll be half stacking bands by the end of the night. Full-fledged on the whack-out ledge, I feel the man's gun nestled under my bed. My spine, it feels fine, but I know that I am just about to die, cause I'm crying inside. Just not complaining, cause this life ain't free. You see, the truck back laughing up in a tree. For me, the hill of Bama Gritch has got the itch to switch that little halfback and son of a glitch. I feel this painstaking train in my brain, and it's showing me directions where I'm going insane. And I blame it on the anger that I hold inside. Now do you wanna see the truth behind my lies?
We're not safe.
Who's there?
Our drummer just got in.
Hey!
Fred! Meet this is Mr. Ethan Giles.
He's Hi, Ethan.
Can they see me? I just got into town.
Nice little surprise visit. Well, it's nice that Ethan could come in at the end and join.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. This is nice.
Thank you, Ethan.
This is the seventh green now.
Yes, we're right here. Now.
And he's got his green hat on. So, so Ethan, what do you want to say? Because they've just talked so bad about you for the past 45 minutes.
I was really surprised when I showed up. I didn't know about this.
Yeah,
you're
just out of the shot.
We're totally stressed.
We just
get friendly.
We gave our personal history with the band, you know, how you got to playing with us and stuff, who you are.
Yep.
Well, Ethan, do you have a drummer complex? You know, because drummers always, they kind of get left in the back, left behind. You know, they're kind of forgotten about. Or do you have an active voice in the band? Do they listen to you?
I mean, we all listen to each other, I think. There's no really... Owen handles most of, like, the internet stuff. I'm not good with the internet. This is all really weird to me. But, yeah, I don't mind being the back guy back there. I mean, I sing sometimes, and I think we all have pretty equal.
We all get along musically, and we usually agree musically, but we all bring different little, you know, we don't all listen to the, you know, we're not cookie cutters, you know, creations as far as what we actually.
Like the term.
Yeah, you like that. As far as what we listen to, so we, you know. Ethan will have an idea, and it's, you know, it's not like, shut up, you're the drummer. It's, you know, we all have equal voice in the band, so.
You know what you should do at your next show? Put Ethan at the front. Well, instead of the drummer being in the back.
I mean,
put him at the front.
We switch up instruments sometimes,
yeah.
So. And it's kind of nice because we're all short enough that, like, when we're standing up, he's still taller sitting down.
Now, what instruments do you guys play? Each one of you, if you play other instruments, what do you play?
I play drums and guitar.
And, yeah, I pretty much, they make sure I stay off the drum set because we don't want anybody leaving. Guitar and bass. We don't really bring in any other instruments in what we're playing. We just kind of juggle them around. But Owen plays a mean guitar.
I just play bass mostly. I do play guitar in a couple of songs. And when Ethan gets up and sings and plays guitar, I get back on the drums. And we all kind of tinker on keyboard and stuff. We haven't. It's not at the point where it can be a useful part of the band. So we bring it out to the shows not or yet. But
it's always fun to practice though.
Yeah, it's fun to practice. And ukulele. We'll get a ukulele out every now and then. But that's practice room stuff, you know.
Well, Ethan, do you feel was the drum something that you've always done or? Did you kind of just get assigned to the drums?
I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I'd asked my dad and mom for a drum set. And I think when I got 12 or 13, they both threw in together to get me a drum set. And I've had the same one ever since. And
That's awesome.
And I don't know. Yeah, I picked up guitar before I had a drum set because I always liked music a lot. My whole family plays bluegrass and southern gospel and stuff like that, so I'm kind of the black sheep as far as our family goes with music because I'm doing the rock and roll thing and they're all more into the southern gospel. But I don't know, drums just... I've just felt the drums way more and better than I have guitar.
Oh, yeah. And I think you do. I think you feel what's going to come through your body and through you organically.
Yeah.
Now, it makes that. I saw a performance once. It makes me want to ask you this question. It was at a venue in Columbus, Ohio, and it was kind of an underground venue. So the ceilings were low. And this girl was the drummer. She was awesome, but she really got going with her sticks, and she hit a pipe right above it and broke the stick like mid-performance. Have you ever had anything like that happen? Have you ever?
Have you ever not had anything?
Yeah.
Like that?
I've definitely broken some sticks in my day. I actually, we bought, what was it, the titanium?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I bought the titanium sticks, and it says guaranteed to not break, and I broke it, like, the third day. That was the Travis Barker.
I just think we remember going to practice one day, and Odin and I were talking to each other. Ethan was setting up the drums, and he had just gotten the Travis Barker signature sticks, which they're like as big around as a nickel. I mean, they're like marching
pine trees.
Owen and I were talking to each other. I said, I give him 2 weeks. And Owen's like, I give him till the end of this practice.
Second or
third song, he had broken them.
Because Ethan gets to 60, he's like, I'm never going to break these. Da, 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 and
so it's kind of a challenge.
No, not anymore.
He got better. That was a while ago. And
yeah. We were pretty raw.
Yeah.
we're refined enough now.
So have you learned to keep an extra set of sticks with you at gigs?
I actually have a whole, my ex-girlfriend bought me a holder. And that I get to put as many in there as I can.
We'll just find them. Like, yeah. We'll pack up for a gig. It'll be like, oh, and look through your room one more time. See if there are any sticks sitting around.
Just like, make sure you got them.
Yeah, like electrical tape together. Be like, well, if you need this one.
I got a pretty good collection going right now.
Yeah.
I used to do a new stick. And I really like it. It's like a 7B or something like that.
Yeah.
And you haven't broken it yet, right?
I did break one, but I bought two pair, and only one is broken so far.
You just can't contain the fury that is Ethan Giles.
I mean, and these are thin too. These are thinner, way thinner than any other sticks I've ever used.
I think you guys need to get him like, you know, the wiffle ball bats. You need to get him that equivalent in drumsticks. Yeah, so it's big, and you're not going to break it. I think the problem is the smaller you get those sticks, Ethan, you're breaking them.
Well, we actually got him those thick sticks that didn't break, but he broke the drum heads instead. Got him those, like, marching band sticks that are, like, 50-cent piece big.
Now, Ethan, I'll ask you, since you brought up that you got the Travis Barker drumsticks, he's actually my favorite drummer. So, who's your favorite drummer, and who kind of inspired you?
I've always liked Mitch Mitchell. Do you know who that is?
No.
He was a drummer for the Experience, right?
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Oh, cool. Okay.
He uses the snare a lot, and I like the snare. Does a lot of like single strokes, and that's what I do, a lot of single strokes. I also like, I don't really know the names. This guy though can, he's a walking Wikipedia.
Owen Wiki.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whoever the drummer is for the Revivalist.
I don't know his name.
He's good, though. I like him.
Now, see, if he was truly the social media guru that you all say he is, he would have Google right in front of him to Google that right now, so you'd have the answer.
Well, that'd be rude. I'm in an interview right now.
Very good point. Very good point. You'll have to get back with me on that. Let me know who it is.
Next song of the night is called Iceberg.
Don't know where we're going. It's no longer snowing. The weather's quickly changing. Snow's already melting. Our backwards are hungry. I hope you don't slip and fall. Sitting with a penguin. He's my only friend now. Everyone has slipped now. The whales enjoy their feasting. And now that I am hungry, the penguin sure looks good. I won't be hungry no more. We'll
the size of his mouth. And as I lay and wonder in this little creature, how in the world could a penguin eat me?
The other question that I ask during my show, and each of you can answer this separately or you can answer it together. I am kind of obsessed with food, so when I travel or go somewhere, I want to eat locally. I want to have something that's, you know, unique to the area. And I went to Senoy, Georgia. I was coming through there when I was seeing some bands a while back. Senoy, do you know Senoy?
I think I've heard of it.
It is where they filmed The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
So I went there and ate at Zach Brown Band. He has a restaurant there because he's from there.
Huh.
And I had a BLT, and it was a fried green tomato, bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. That was awesome.
That sounds pretty good.
So what do you guys recommend? What restaurant, what place to eat, what food, and why?
Mac and Jerry's.
You're talking about down in our area?
It can be there or anywhere you've gone, you know, that you perform. Just the place where you have to have the food.
I have something that we can add here. I have something that I would not recommend. And that is... Well, actually, you won't have to worry about having it because the restaurant's not there anymore. But there was a place called Dee's Diner that we played once.
Uh-huh.
And they have a giant hamburger, and they deep fry the whole thing. Like lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, the buns. They just take the whole burger and deep fry it.
Oh, my.
And it was horrible.
did the owner die of heart failure?
Yeah, I got about halfway through it, and it was just like, oh.
Is that where Lucky
is
now?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, but, oh, yeah.
It was Miss Rosie's and Dee's Diner.
Yeah, yeah,
now
yeah. Lucky. There's a very good, all the way down, if you go down 59, all the way to the beach, if you're right close to the beach, there's a place called Papa Rocco's, and it says... warm
pizza.
Beer and lousy food.
Yeah.
Or lousy pizza.
Yeah.
But they had a, it was after we had got done playing, which is like the best time to eat because you're exhausted. And they had,
oh yeah,
they have stuffed mushrooms that are stuffed with oysters, and they're in kind of a creamy, white, cheesy sauce. Oh man, that was good.
I would recommend, as far as down here, there's a place called Pirate's Cove out in Josephine, Alabama. It's on Wolf Bay, I think.
Yeah.
And it's supposedly where the song Cheeseburger in Paradise was written about.
Yeah, it was.
And this cheeseburger is, I mean, that's what, whenever I go play somewhere new or just somewhere I play it all the time, I just like getting a burger. I'm a burger guy. And there's a place called The Keg in Orange Beach that has a great burger. But Pirate's Cove, that cheeseburger, that's probably the best cheeseburger I've ever had. That and the Keg, I would recommend there.
I'm getting hungry.
I know, that's what always happens. Usually I'll do it like right around lunchtime, you know.
If you come in around, like even within like 20, 30 minutes, I would go out of the way to go eat at any of these places. And they usually have really good music there too. So that's where I would say. I haven't really eaten anywhere else that's top there, as performance-wise or anything. Christian says Krispy Kreme.
You got to get those warm donuts about 2 in the morning, you know, when you're driving down the road and it just beckons you, you know. Come buy a dozen warm donuts.
The custard-filled... chocolate-covered ones, those are my favorite.
Well, we were just kidding, but...
He keeps a briefcase full of them.
I do. I really do. In my back pocket.
Tiny briefcase. It's like Mary Poppins' purse.
you know, I think you guys were lucky when you mentioned the one place where you could still get food when you're done performing, because that what I found, frustratingly sometimes, is I am starving after the performance in the grill or whatever. The kitchen's closed down and you don't get food.
Yep.
So kudos to the place that still feeds you when you're done, because you're hungry.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And if you don't get it, then yeah, it's Krispy Kreme. You know, you got to go find that. Yeah.
Or you suck it up and go to some other fast food place. I always like to go to Checkers.
Waffle House or IHOP.
Waffle House is fun just because it's like going to a circus. You go to Waffle House past like 2 o'clock. And it's like that's where the.
Next up is the last song of the night, which is called Dale. Then we'll come back, wrap the show up with Rich, and see what's coming up this next month, and say goodbye to Seventh Green.
Gonna tell you a story about a good old dog named Dale. He's missing an ear and he's only got half a tail. Now Dale's been around a while, he knows the tricks of the trade, and all the other dogs in the neighborhood know his name. And stay away from Dale at dinner time, cause they remember what happened on that one night. A couple years ago on the other side of town, Dale was hungry so we knocked the trash can down. There were five other dogs nearby that heard the sound. They figured they'd steal the meal that Dale just found. It was 5-1 so they were sure they'd win, but those dogs were never seen again.
So tell me about what's coming up this month and who you've got so far.
Well, yeah, we've got a really, really tough group of music coming up in the hit list in this coming month. The month of June is going to be a big month for us because we actually we don't have just four songs going up against each other this time around. We actually have five. So for the month of June, we have Kim Gondrashov and his song Cry Wolf from the first week of June. The second week of June, we saw Lockstar and Killer and Sin. The third week of June, Kay Blitz's track Going In. And then last week, the 23rd of June, we had the infamous track number 6 from Amory Blue. The 30th of June was selected an interesting track called Functional Lover from the Cruise Controllers. Now, for anybody who happened to tune in for the 30 June MSI broadcast, it was really, really something. If you missed it, please go watch the recording up on the website or out on iTunes. Because you will not believe what you hear. You really won't. Guaranteed.
Oh, you've got my interest piqued now. I hate that on Sundays I'm usually on the road, you know, and I don't get a listen.
Well, you'll have to listen to this one because I cannot do it justice by just telling you about it. Honest to goodness, everyone, I believe, not only on the panel, but everyone in the audience was caught by surprise with this one.
And when will the decision be made for Artist of the Month?
The 10th of July. So we've got 2 weeks. A week from this Wednesday will be the next MSI hit list.
Excited to see how this turns out. Kind of makes me, if I was a musician, I'd hope for February when there were fewer in the pack for competition instead of, you know, going five. Well, but like this one.
You know, I think a fair number of musicians might think the same way. But, you know, if you're confident about your craft, you want to get it out there and you want to prove to everyone that you can actually walk the walk and talk the talk, I think a month with five in it would be a good, give you good bragging rights, wouldn't it?
I think so. I think you could go, yeah, I ruled. You know, you beat like three other people, but, you know, I beat four other people.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And looking forward to it. I certainly hope that you, along with everybody else, will tune in to MSI Radio at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the 10th of July for the next hit list.
I will put it on my calendar. And I know from talking to several musicians, they are so grateful for what you do and for what the panel of judges does from MSI and just being a springboard for them in so many areas. And I know the Seventh Green said that, you know, because of MSI, then they get to be, you know, featured on my show and on Butterflies, and people that may not have heard of them just in Alabama, you know, through MSI, it kind of gets out there and they get a wider fan base. So.
And it certainly doesn't look bad on the resume to put down that your band has won an award, you know, a broadcast award. And, you know, we're certainly happy to provide the service, providing it free of charge to any and all indie musicians around the world. All you have to do, go to musicsceneinvestigation.com and submit your songs.
It's that easy.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, Rich. I appreciate you taking the time.
Always. Anything for you. You know that.
Well, you guys have been a ton of fun to talk to. Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you
for giving us an opportunity.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, and congratulations on your win. And don't let that stop you. Keep submitting music to them and see if you win again with other stuff, because I know they've had repeat winners, you know, for different things. So.